The sun has left and forgotten me. It's dark, I cannot see.
Your stories don't define you, but how you tell them will. Hi, I'm Sarah Elkins, your host and chief story maker at Elkins Consulting. Listeners, you've heard me say this before. You can't be a storyteller if you're not making stories to begin with. That means stepping out of your comfort zone, doing things that feel different and uncomfortable and that make you do interesting things and meet interesting people. One of the best things about being a podcast host is that I get to do that so many times a week. I meet interesting people and I hear their amazing stories. So listeners, listen closely to Steve Ramona, my guest today, and maybe figure out one thing you can do in the next few days that takes you a step outside of that zone of contentedness. Steve, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Me too. I love to start with a very quick question. Sometimes it ends up being the perfect long answer that is the entire show. I would love for you to share with us something about yourself that most people don't know about you.
That's a great question. You're a great host. This is awesome.
Thank you.
A lot of people don't know that I worked at a health club. I became, you know, my family started it, but I started at 18 years old, just out of high school. So a few people in high school knew, but this incredible story I learned, which is to find me today, is seeing an 18-year-old checking people in. And if you don't, you know, we used to teach our staff, remember people's names. Well, I don't remember 10,000, you know, 5,000 people coming in. Well, cheat and look at the computer monitor as they scan their car, go, "Hey, Sarah, welcome to the club. Have a great workout." Well, when I started doing that and teaching others to do that, I started building relationships with 40, 50, 60-year-olds that would have scared the hell out of me at 17, 18. But they were coming to me, "Hey, Steve, how was your weekend? How was your trip? You know, what are you doing new?" Like a friend, they became friends. But what they also did is it brought me value and resources. And one of those stories is Tony, the financial advisor, dealing with millions of dollars. And this is in 1980, 79, so a long time ago, which was a lot of money back then. And he gave me a book, and it's called The Wealthy Barber. And he said, "Steve, do me a favor, read this book, and I'll get back to you next week." And I did. The next week comes in, and Tony walks, "Hey, kid." He called me kid. "Hey, kid." I guess because I was. And he said, "Did you read the book?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "Okay, good. Most people don't. What'd you learn?" "Take 10% of my income, put it in some account and financial vehicle. Don't touch it." "Good, kid." Thumbs up. Does his workout. Well, 10 years go by and he's left the club. He was older and, you know, we still stayed in touch. Mm-hmm. So I had this premonition to go look at that account. I had $60,000 in that account, taking 10% of my income as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old.
Right.
And I'm like, I was like, won the lottery. I'm like, $60,000.
It seems like so much money.
It does. Now you're like, oh, everybody's got that.
Well, no. Him. I know better than that. Yeah, I live true. In Montana.
So. Oh, there you go. So I called him. "Hey, you know, I want to give you an update." He goes, "That's awesome, Steve." I said, "Hey, can I send you $1,000? That was your job?" He goes, "No." I said, "Why not?" He goes, here's why. And the most important thing I want you to understand, Steve, is when you read the book and took action, my universe changed. Maybe one of those billionaires or multimillionaires came to my company or my world because you took action and listened to me. I don't need the money. You've already paid it back 10 times. And I learned the value of giving and eventually receiving, but the value of giving value. Mm-hmm. Just helping some guy, front desk kid that was nice to him, but he's like, "I really like this kid. I want to help him." Imagine mm-hmm. if we all could do that in our business.
Oh my gosh. And it doesn't take much. Yeah. It can be as simple as, "Wow, that was really good what you just did, and here's why that was good," and then walk away. That alone changes people's lives when somebody sees them.
And paid it forward. I shared it with a number. I don't know if they did or I never followed up, but you know, I shared it with some of the employees, and you know, it was so powerful. I get chills right now.
I love it. Well, I love that question because what it does is it gives people a much broader perspective of who we are. So when I ask that question, it's because so many times we get stuck into one aspect of who we are we ourselves get stuck in that. And what's worse is when other people get stuck in that. I just did a podcast episode about anchoring people in time. That one incident that you remember from 20 years ago, and you've decided that person is A. It could be good or bad, but it leaves no room for personal growth and change for either party. So I love the story because I have read some of your content. I've followed you in different places. And even in our 5-minute conversation before I hit record, that story, your story that you chose to share, tells me more about you than any content that I could have read.
Amen. It's so true. And it still affected me today. I think subconsciously, mm-hmm. I know subconsciously, that story will keep resonating when I want to meet somebody like you and I've got a referral for you, or, yeah, I'd love to be a guest, mm-hmm. or whatever that is. And it's a skill set like gratitude. I think servitude, right, or servant hearts, you need the practice. People are, how do I do it? I don't have money. Well, the best part is you don't need money.
No.
Just go to the soup kitchen. No. Go to a, you know, yeah, homeless shelter and feed.
Right?
Yeah. So right. Many ways.
Making an introduction, holding a door open for another human, not screaming at somebody who cuts you off in traffic, even stopping yourself doing the not doing can be a service in some ways. So tell me, Steve, when you think about recent interactions with your clients, what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to back up a little. What I'm going to ask you is to tell us what you do without telling us what you do. And you told me this morning something that your interaction with your clients that brought you great joy, made you feel like you were in exactly the right place. So tell our listeners one of those stories, but try to be specific, like put us in that location where you were and how it felt.
Yeah, you're a great host. Great question. Podcasting to me is the new frontier. It's the new networking. And people come to me all the time. Can't do it. Time, money, how to do it. Where do I get guests? Kind of the four things, topics. And I love to sit down with people and hear their story. And I love that you do, why they don't want to do a podcast.
Right.
And I go,
what's stopping you?
Exactly. Right. What is stopping you? Or they tell me, this is what's stopping me. And when I show them how they can do it in 20 minutes, how simple it is, these little tools that cost you less than $80 a month. So it's not expensive to be able to do a podcast and grow yourself, grow your guest, and grow your audience. I'm going to say something that a lot of people don't talk about podcasts. I could care less about. I mean, I care, but I don't look at the numbers on YouTube or podcasting, what they are. They're really good numbers now because I don't look. What I care about is that guest on the other side of Zoom, and how can I make them look great, but also how can I learn about them to bring them value? And this is what I taught these two partners in the business. And the joy coming out of there, they're like, oh, I'm blown away. Oh, my God. I can't believe how simple this is. That is a Christmas gift every day I get to. Hopefully every day, and it's been a lot of days in a row that I get to give back to people more hope, more faith, but the most important thing, having a servant heart and to share it with others.
Mm-hmm. I have found too that when we do that, that pays forward, not directly back to us, but definitely to other people. So when, as a podcast, you're a podcast host, I'm a podcast host, I have a few stories of great guests that just, oh my gosh, you know, they kind of blow me away. I have stories of guests that did a beautiful job. It was their first time being a guest on a podcast, that kind of story. I also have a couple of stories of where they really went wrong. So I'd love to hear two stories, one where a guest went wrong and how you managed that as a servant heart, because I have a story in my head that recently happened. And then another time where a guest was right, and you were able to encourage and build that person as a result of their great guesting on your podcast.
I love it because I have many, but I've got two on the top of my head. That's why I love doing podcasting is people's stories, which I love that you said that. So the first one, she was excited. I always bring value and energy. When I meet people, I'm excited about it, and I am. I'm excited to do your show. Mm-hmm. We jump in and... So, you know, what's soul in a business? Well, soul is something that could be no energy.
Oh no.
Slow talk. Oh, yeah, it was, and I'll, there's other things to it that I want to add that people need to hear. So I would hear that and I go, wow, I love when you talk about soul in the show, I mean, in your business, and how you share that. Talk about a story. And this is why I love that you're a story maker. She told a story, and her energy went from here and went there. I said, that's an incredible story. So it started at the worst it could be, as you know. So we ended up okay. It wasn't the greatest show, but it was okay. But here's what I want people to hear. This is so important. I'm still going to put her on my YouTube channel. I'm still going to put her on my podcast because it's the universe. You have somebody with a bad show or not so good show, put it out there because you don't know if somebody can resonate with that because we don't know everybody.
Right.
Be a servant heart and put that out there. My good story is, and I've got so many of them, but I'm going to pick Alfonso James and I'm going to announce his name because I'm going to work with him now. At 17 years old, he was called into the police. He had stabbed some kid and it was all taken care of. Nobody died and, you know, all good. A month later, they knock on his door and say, we need to take your son in. Moms go, why? Well, we got to talk to him. So for 12 hours, now, Alfonso quit school at eighth grade, completely illiterate, couldn't read, write. So in the police department, talking about it, you know, what's going on, 12 hours later, have him sign a document.
Oh, no.
Then we sign it. He was convicted of murder for 100 years. He didn't do it. He was not there. They could prove it. So now you've got an 18-year-old kid going to prison with all these murderers, rapists, and just evil, evil right. people. People have done evil things. He becomes one of them. And it's 18, 19, it start, he went into solitary. 5 years he spent in solitary. Not 5 months, not 5 weeks. 5 years he was isolated. But there was a pastor, Pastor Emil, and I'm going to say his name because I want to meet this guy. He's in his 80s, 90s now, but he would come in every month or once a week and meet all the prisoners. Here's the power of faith and just a servant's heart. Alfonso didn't like him. God put me here, didn't know about God, didn't care. So he would urinate into a milk carton and throw it on every time he'd sit down. Oof. He would wipe, you know, wipe it off. He'd keep coming back. Finally, the third time around or for whatever it was, he had a towel on his shoulder and a towel on the chair. He does it again for the fourth time. He says a prayer. He tells him about the creator and God, you know, all that. He says one sentence. I forget what the sentence was. And Alfonso said, my whole life changed. I realized there's somebody out there beside, you know, Father Emil and this. And it changed his life. When he got out of solitary, he started schooling and educating all the prisoners to get them out of prison. He spent 32 years in prison of something he didn't do. But he came out with the biggest smile in the world. When I met him, he had smiles from ear to ear, and I was helping him. He's like, calls me every week. Man, I thank you so much and blessed. And I want you to think about this story, audience. Imagine you're in solitary. You come home now in the real world. You can. He's telling me I can drive. I can drive to the lake. I sleep in my own bed now. I can meet, be with my partner, Terry. We can enjoy life together, the simplest things. We want to not forget that. And now he's actually, I think it's this weekend, he's speaking in New Orleans to a number of prisoners that have been wrongly convicted and tell his story. And wow. I don't want to cry. I'm getting very emotional because he's such a beautiful man. And unfortunately, he went through something. But you know what? He smiles every day. He's happy every day. He went through one of the worst situations you could go through, and he's happy. So I just
because he chooses it. That is, I love that. That's, and it's such a difference between these two podcast guests. And I'd like to come back to this when you share a podcast episode. I have shared episodes that I didn't love. I didn't feel like I wasn't the audience for them. You know, the topic or the way that the person was sharing stories, it just didn't resonate with me. But I shared it because I knew it would resonate with somebody. So I love that. This is why I have over 300 episodes out there, is for that reason. I have to say, though, there was one guest that I listened to the episode. I didn't love it while we were recording it, but I wasn't sure why. But when I listened to it, I realized I can't share this because it doesn't make him look good. And my guest is my priority. So I actually had to write very gently with a servant's heart an email to explain why I wasn't going to publish it. And I sent him the link to it so he could listen to it and decide for himself. So have you had a situation like that where you thought the person just didn't represent themselves very well, and that's why you had to do something differently?
I haven't on a record on a show, but I've had to tell people who've asked me how much money will I make on your podcast, not invite them. So I've had to I've never had during, but it's the same thing. It's that's a servant's heart. When you say no, you're a servant's heart. It's not benefiting him. It's not benefiting me and you. It just doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that's intense. Well, we have like two more minutes before I know that we have to wrap this up. So when you think about your how good it feels to do what you're doing, tell me about a story where you really understood intuitively and innately that you were the guide and not the hero. And this may be the story with Alfonso and how you met. Like, what was that first conversation? I can tell you so many times in my past, I felt like, you know, oh, I'm the hero. I'm the hero of the story. And it never works out well when that ego gets involved like that. And I realized through Jason Ellinger out of Beard and Bowler video storytelling, he's extraordinary, super talented. He said, when you're talking to your clients, you can't be the hero. They have to be the hero. You have to be the Yoda character. So
that's so beautiful.
It was. Oh my gosh, it was. And I knew that, you know, in my heart, I knew that. But I'm not sure I had intentionally shifted the way that I did my business as a result of that. So when did you have that shift? And then you can tell us how to reach you and we can wrap this up.
Yeah, RJ Johnson, another prisoner. But this time he committed adultery. He wrote committed adultery with a student as a teacher and tried to commit suicide. And the first day, I'll never forget the day, it was a Saturday. And as we're talking, he's telling me his story. I'm like getting blown away. He pulls out the sweatshirt and shows me, nobody else has seen it but his dad, this sweatshirt. I've just known him 30 minutes. He goes, this is a sweatshirt I wore across my arms to die on a train track. The train missed him, obviously, but the train missed him and shouldn't have. Got back home because he told his family he was committing suicide. You can come stop me. So he goes to prison. I try to murder him the first week because what he did is very low of the low in prison. And went to solitaire, and his dad finally got him out, went to a prison he didn't want to go to. But he met a chaplain. He said, I don't know anything about God. Look where I'm at. He said, just love and hug people because you have to have a job in prison. And he did that and became a believer. But he wrote a book, God Doesn't Waste a Thing. And one of the stories he told me, it's going to blow people away. And some people go, that's crazy. And some people go, that's God. There's a gentleman, Mr. Bakersfield, who was eating batteries and remotes to kill himself. Some people just don't want to be there. Yeah, it's they'll do anything to die. And they have to keep him alive. So he's walking up with the chaplain to see him, thinking he died. And he's alive. And they're talking. And there's a hole in his stomach this big. Literally, the acid burned a hole with gauze.
Of
RJ's like, I said, RJ, don't blow smoke up. You know what? I just met you. He goes, no, I'm serious. I had to walk away. I almost threw up. So the chaplain does a prayer. They leave. 16 hours later, they get a call. Okay, he's passed. You know, hole in the stomach. He's surviving. They walk back in. And he goes, what did you do, Chaplain Matt? He goes, you heard me. I said a prayer. You're swearing at me. You're mad. That's okay. I still love you. Well, he was sitting up in his bed. He drops the sheet. The hole is gone. Completely healed. There's no scars, no nothing. And I said, RJ, again, I'm 45 minutes into knowing you. He goes, Steve, I walked up. I thought it was bologna, a piece of bologna. And I touched it. It literally was skin that was healed. It's so powerful. And that's not the end of the story. He goes, Mr. Bakersfield, again, what did you do, Chaplain Matt? And he told the story. He goes, I want to know everything about God right now. So they started working with him for the next 2 years because he really destroyed his body, obviously. He converted, I think it was 100 prisoners to God before he left this earth. That's the power of faith. That's the power of people. Why I love people is we can do anything.
That's a perfect story to wrap this back. And it really wasn't just about faith. It was about one person believing and loving. That's oftentimes all it takes.
Yes.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us on Your Stories Don't Define You, How You Tell Them Will. This episode will have show notes associated with it at elkinsconsulting.com, where our listeners can find you and all your contact information. What's the best social media or platform to reach you?
Yeah, all my information on LinkedIn. It's Steve Ramona, if on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. or my digital business card, infone.co/podcast. infone.co/podcast.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
me.
Thank you. God bless.
Listeners, yes, listeners, it's your turn. Who are you going to be the next time you see somebody that needs just simply to be seen and heard? Will you be that person? Will you stand up and just see that person and offer that just very brief moment of kindness? Because that's what a servant leader does. Thanks for listening.
Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.